God, thanks so much that you care about us and that you care about what happens to us. You care what happens in our lives. You care about what's going to happen tomorrow. You care about what's going on tonight. You see it all and you know it all. And God, you love us in the middle of our lives, wherever we're at. God, I pray that you would help us tonight grow and learn. And would you teach us what gifts you've given us, how we've been gifted by you so that we might be able to help and serve other people. God, you've made us to be great. Would you help us learn what that means, that you've made us for greatness? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys have ever worn a crown before? You guys ever worn a crown? Maybe you were a Burger King crown, sure. Or maybe you were a wise man in the Christmas story. I've been in several Christmas skits when I was a kid. Maybe if you're, how about a tiara? Any princesses in the room? Some guys are admitting that they've worn a tiara. Nice. Yeah. Okay. And what does a crown or a tiara symbolize? Tiara, my bad. Royalty? Wealth, power? Someone of importance, right? Yeah. Up on the screen, you see a picture of a crown, right? That's cool. Did you guys know that that God is the king? Yeah. The king of kings, right? Right? And on the right, you've got some beach towels, right? Raise your hand if you have a fun, cool beach towel that you like to take to the pool or to the beach. Yeah? Anybody have, like, sharks or, like, crazy stuff like that or weird stuff like bananas and flip-flops or umbrellas? I don't know, like, giant watermelon. Yes, watermelon right there. Yeah. All right, quickly tell somebody at the table what color or what kind of shapes are on your beach towel. Okay, go. All right, cool. Come back to me. Anybody have a Marvel towel? No? Star Wars towel? No? Star Trek towel? Yeah? Okay. All right, shout out to me real fast. What is on your beach towel? Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. A lot of stripes, I heard. Okay. Very good. Well, you guys, I want to tell you a little story from my own life, okay? When I graduated from Taylor University in Indiana, at graduation, everybody's dressed up. They got their graduation gowns and everything. And we walk across the stage area, and we get our diploma. That's pretty normal, right? And you're pretty excited because you graduated college, a pretty big deal. And at our university, at Taylor University, they also gave you something else. They gave you your diploma in one hand, and on the other hand, they gave you a towel. And I actually brought it with me, and I actually framed it, and it hangs in my office. That it says this. It says, "Christ, our example of servanthood." And it's kind of like a rag, and it's got the logo for the school on there. But here was the idea. They did this. They said, all right, here's your education. Now, here's a towel, and take your education and go out and serve the world. And it stuck with me, and it was pretty memorable to say, you know what? You didn't just get all that smarts so that you could just waste it on yourself and make a bunch of money, okay? The point was, go, take what you've learned, and now go and be a servant of the world. Go serve your fellow man or your fellow woman. And it was a pretty powerful thing for me. And so I wanted to share with you today these 7 secrets of greatness, that we're wired for greatness. God has made you to be great, to do great things for him. So I wanted to share from this guy named Eugene Wilkes, and he writes a book called Jesus on Leadership. And here are the 7 secrets that he shares in that book about what does it mean to really understand this idea when Jesus basically took off his crown and took up his towel and washed the disciples' feet, right? Figuratively, he stepped out of heaven and came to earth. He left his royalty, and he came to be on this planet and to serve us, to serve humans, to serve the disciples. And he washes their feet in one of the cool stories in Matthew. So if you want to take a look, what does it mean? The first one, what do servant leaders do? Or if Jesus is going to teach us a little bit about leadership and about service, it's this. Servant leaders humble themselves. That's the first fill-in. And wait for God to exalt them. So if you got a pen, you might want to take some notes. You know, fill it in there. There's a story in Luke 14 that goes along with this. It says, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. You guys think about that. Jesus is observing what's happening, and people are trying to get close to the host of the party, okay? Take the seat of honor at the dinner table. And Jesus comes up with this parable, says, look, you know what? Instead, you might want to think about this, humbling yourself first, because someone may be more important, may have been invited than you, you know? But a lot of times we want to get ahead. We want to be close to the person who's in charge or close to the person who's in power. All right, here's the next one. All right, number two, servant leaders follow Jesus rather than seek a position. All right, I got another story from the disciples for you about this one. This one's in Mark 10. Did you guys know that the disciples were competing for Jesus' attention and for position? Check out this story. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and they said, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. That's kind of gutsy. Who wants to say that to Jesus? Jesus, I want you to do whatever I ask you next. Okay? Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He asked. And they replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory. Do you guys get what they're asking? They want to be vice president and secretary of state to the president, okay? Jesus is the president. They want to sit on the throne with him, okay? You guys like to play the card game Scum? Right? Who's the top one? Right? President? And then you got what? Like vice president and vice whatever. Yeah. So they want power. They want to be connected with Jesus, but not just as disciples. They want to rule with him. And here's what Jesus says. You do not know what you are asking. Jesus said, can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Like, Jesus knows the suffering he's about to endure. He's like, can you guys hang with that? Can you hang on a cross like I'm about to? Do you know what they say? They answered, we can. These guys are out of their minds. They have no idea. And they can't. They just think they can. But here's the thing. Don't seek the position. You want the glory, you want the credit, you want the props, you want to be the superstar, you want to be noticed, you want the spotlight. And God's like, look, no, don't chase the spotlight. Don't chase the glory. Chase Jesus first. Okay, here's the next one. Number three, servant leaders give up personal rights, is the fill-in, to find greatness in service to others. There's a great verse in Mark 10 and 41 through 45. In verse 43, it says this, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first, you guys listen to this, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. You guys, I don't know about you, but in elementary school, that was like the best. Like, I want to be first. I want to be first. Oh, me. Pick me. I want to be head of the line. I want to get picked first in gym class. I want to be in charge. I want to be in front. I want to be picked. I want to go first. Let me go first. I want to eat first. I want to jump in the pool first. I want to watch the movie first. I want dessert first, right? It's always about you getting that thing that you want. And Jesus is like, you know what? I'm going to flip this whole world's view of success upside down and say, you know what? First, you get on your knees and you learn to serve and wash people's feet. You learn to put others first. That's hard to do. But in order to do that, to be great, you want to be really great? Greatness in the Bible is much different than greatness in the world. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to learn to serve, and not just one time, not just a service project, but to learn to have a lifestyle of serving others. All right, here's the next one. Seven secrets of greatness. Number four, servant leaders can risk serving others because they trust that God is in control of their lives. Yeah, that God is in control of their lives. Cool verse in John 13. Check this out. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So listen, Jesus understood who he was, that he came from God, and that he was given power from God. And so then He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. The job of a house servant. In that time, the roads weren't paved. Roads were made of dirt. People walked in sandals. What happens when you're in sandals and you walk on dirt roads? Feet are pretty dirty. One of the jobs of a house servant in that time was to wash people's feet when they came into their home, okay? It'd be like, you know, maybe in our culture, it'd be kicking off your shoes when you go to a friend's house, you know? You guys ever do that? Ever take off your shoes when you go to someone's house when you go in? Just depends on the house. Depends on the friend, maybe, okay? As a sign of respect, right? So for this, Jesus takes this role of a servant, washes people's feet, but here's how he did it. He knew who he was and who God made him to be, and then he took up the towel. Are you with me? He was confident in who God had made him to be, right? Or he was God, so obviously. But he was also under God the Father's authority, right? So he can risk that because he trusts that God is in control. All right, here's number five. You ready? Servant leaders can take up their Jesus towel of servanthood to meet the needs of others. Servant leaders take up Jesus' towel of servanthood to meet the needs of others. I don't know if you guys remember the story about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But do you remember when he got to Peter? Do you remember what Peter did? Did Peter want Jesus to wash his feet? No. Do you remember why? He felt like he wasn't worthy. Yeah. Yeah, this is God. This is God in the flesh. This is Jesus, the King of all kings. This is him. And he's, you know what? You can't wash my feet. Like, I'm not worthy of that. And then Jesus says to him, he says this. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing now, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And then Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus was trying to teach him something here. He said, then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands as well and my head as well. Like, he's like, dude, you can just give me a bath. If that means if I can't be with you without being washed, then wash all of me. And Jesus is like, dude, you don't need a bath. That's not what I'm talking about. He's talking about something deeper. Jesus says, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. Jesus is talking about spiritual cleanliness too, not just physical cleanliness. So in this story, Jesus takes up the towel to meet a greater need. He is not just washing the disciples' feet, he's teaching them about forgiveness and the need to have Jesus wash them clean, wash their sins clean. It was symbolic. It wasn't just about the dirt on their feet, it was also the dirt in their heart. All right, here's the next one, number six, almost to the end. Servant leaders share their responsibility and authority with others to meet a greater need. All right, let me just ask you guys for some audience feedback here, okay? Have you ever been a part of a team that accomplished something greater than any one individual could have? Talk to me. What was it? What'd you do? What was it like? In Kalamazoo, you went on a mission project and your team cleared a forest. Okay? Hard to do that solo. Were you guys like sawing and cutting and chopping and not, and doing all that kind of stuff? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Give me another example where a group of people accomplished something greater than any one individual could have. Marching band show. Can one band member make a giant script, Ohio? No. Right? No. Let alone make it move and look cool, right? Yeah. Can one instrument make an entire orchestra sound? No, right? Yeah. Accomplishing music, right? A song needs lots and lots of instruments and people. And a marching band show. A basketball game, so, like, explain. Yeah, you need a whole team to play, to win, to play offense, to play defense, to guard all the other teammates, to shoot and score. Yeah. You need other people, for sure. All right, I want to read to you from Acts 6. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Jews among them complained against the other Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Okay? Two groups of Jews fighting for the rights of people that were being overlooked. Does that seem like a worthy cause? What do you think? Would you step up for people who are not being fed? So there's this group of people that's not getting the daily distribution of food. So the 12, okay, the disciples, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Okay? Now listen, The disciples understood their job was to share the message of God with the world. They needed to go out and share it, and they didn't feel like they could be distracted by distributing food. Okay, is that noble or not noble? I don't know. They were focused in on their mission to share the gospel. So they come up with a plan. Listen, it says, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will return this responsibility over to them. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So what did they do? They knew what their mission was, and they couldn't be distracted from it. What did they do, Madeline? They divided and conquered. They deputized some new leaders, and they said, all right, guys, this is your job. Make sure that everybody that needs food gets food, because we can't do that. We've got to go and share the message of God. So what are they doing? Look, they're sharing their responsibility, right? They deputize new people to be in charge, and then they give them that job so they can meet the needs of the food and the people who aren't getting it, right? Or meet the needs of the people and also share the message of God. All right, here's the last one. 7 Secrets of Greatness. Number 7, servant leaders multiply their leadership by empowering others to lead. You guys get that? Servant leaders multiply their leadership by empowering others to lead. There's a crazy cool story in Exodus about Moses. You guys know who Moses is, right? Do you know what Moses was trying to do? He was trying to do it all himself. And so he ends up having a conversation with his father-in-law, Jethro. And here's what his father-in-law said. It says, what you're doing is not good, he says to Moses. It says, you and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. So Jethro is going to give Moses some advice about delegation. What does delegation mean? If I delegate jobs out to people, what is that? Okay, so give me an example. What would be some jobs we could delegate? Cleanup crew, lights working. I like that. Or at the end of the night, maybe it's people vacuum, some people clean up trash, some people put the pens and Bibles away. All right, we delegate the work, right? Well, here's what Jethro does for Moses. He says, listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. But teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties that they are to perform. Okay, basically, Moses was ending up having to be like the jury between people fighting and disputing things. And he's using up all his time trying to help people solve their problems. So he goes on and Jethro gives him this advice. He says, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials, listen to this, over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and have them serve as judges for the people at all times. But bring all the difficult cases to you. So Moses can just focus on what's really tough. Then he's got what? He's got like sergeants over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, right? Different ranks, you know, like sergeants, lieutenants, etc. You know, privates, cadets, whatever. Over. So, for example, let's say Ellie is over everybody at her table, okay? And then Devin's over everybody at his table and everybody over at your table. So you're in charge of that table. Ellie's in charge of that table, right? And then let's say Audra is in charge of Ellie and Devin because they're over their tables. Does that make sense? And then let's say Kayla is in charge and she's over Audra. But all she has to do is meet with Audra, and all Audra has to do is meet with Ellie and Devin. All Ellen and Devin have to do is meet with the two people at their table. Are you with me? So now it's all spread out. The leadership is shared, and Moses gets to do what he's supposed to do, and he's not worn out and exhausted from everybody fighting and bickering. So we learn this principle, right? To multiply it and empower it. So 7 Secrets of Greatness. There you go. Cool? If you look at the next thing, I wanted you guys to get this kind of two approach tonight, I guess. One would be learning about serving, which we just did, and the other part is going to be really practical about how are you wired? So we're going to take a look at what is my shape. I'm just going to do it really quick. There are, as an acronym, shape spells, or shape spells shape, obviously. But shape stands for something. The first one, the S stands for spiritual gifts. So what has God supernaturally gifted me to do? Think about that. What has God supernaturally gifted you to do? Now, this only counts if you've put your faith in Jesus. If you put your trust and faith in Jesus and you're a Christian and a follower of Christ, then God gives you spiritual gifts by his Spirit. Okay? So what has he supernaturally gifted you to do this? Good question. All right, here's the next one. H, what do I have a passion for and love to do? Yeah, think about that for a second. What do I have a passion for and love to do? Is it music? Is it working with kids? Is it helping people? Is it building stuff? Is it making things? Is it being in charge of stuff? What do you love to do? All right, here's the next one. A is for abilities. What natural talents and skills do you have? There are supernatural gifts, and there are also things that you just you have natural ability for. So what are some of those things? All right, that's the A of shape. Here's the P, personality. Where does my personality best suit me to serve? So, for example, if you're an introvert, quiet, reserved, like to be alone a little bit, you're probably not going to be the upfront person on the microphone, right? I'm just saying. If your personality is outgoing and maybe you love to talk, maybe that is you. So your personality plays a part in that. If you don't like people, then you might not want to serve in a place that you have to help people all the time. But maybe you're a really good background person. And so maybe your thing, your personality is you like to be alone. You like to work alone. So we give you a job at the church maybe or a job in some ministry where you get to work on the computer and do everything by yourself. But what you're doing is still contributing, right? So figuring out what is your personality and how does that work, okay? And then the last one is E, for to spell the word shape, is experiences. What types of experiences have I had that would help you, that would help in any kind of a role that you might have, okay? Do you have any background in working with kids? Or do you have any background in music? Do you have any experience, cutting wood and chopping things down? Like, or do you have any experience in singing songs or teaching the Bible? Do you have any experience in cooking or cleaning or helping people like that? Put that all together. Take the S-H-A-P-E. Put that all together, okay? Spiritual gifts, heart abilities, personality, and experiences. And that's not just my idea. That's from these guys, Eric Reese and Rick Warren. But if we grab that whole idea and put it together, that can give you a really good idea of where God might have you wired for greatness. Are you with me? Here's what I want to do. For the next 15 minutes, you're going to get a chance to do the first one, okay? The first one. I'm going to give you a spiritual gifts quiz just to work on your own. Here's the cool part about this quiz. You can't fail it. There's no way to fail this quiz, okay? Because it's your own opinion, which is fantastic, okay? I want you to work with your friends at your table, okay? And you're going to work through these questions. And at the end, I'm hoping you'll have a better picture of what are some of your spiritual gifts, okay? So could I have a few helpers hand out the quiz? Okay, you may have done this kind of thing before, and that's okay. I want you to do it again, because you know what? Mine have shifted and changed over time. Maybe yours will, too. If you've never done it, it's super easy. You go through the questions, and you just answer it with numbers. Okay, you either put a 3, 2, 1, or 0. If that's you, you put a 3. If it's probably you, you put a 2. If it's maybe you or probably not you, you put a 1. And then definitely not you, put a 0. So your answers are all going to be numbers. And on the second page is the score sheet, okay? When you're done, hopefully it's going to tell you, hey, do I have the spiritual gift of helping or encouraging or giving or teaching or pastoring or mercy or hospitality or leading or evangelism or faith? And you'll have a chance to share those results in your life group a little bit later, okay? But if you don't like taking quizzes or aren't into doing the survey, you're welcome to take it home and work on it on your own. But you're going to need some of the answers to share in your life group later, so I'd encourage you to do it if you can. And I want you guys to keep in mind, this is one tool. It's not a perfect tool, but hopefully it'll give you a good guide. But then you still got to add those other parts of the stuff that we talked about. You still have to add your heart and abilities and personality and experience to maybe give you a fuller picture of how you're wired. All right, so I'm just going to ask for a few shout-outs. What are some of the things that you're gifted at? Evangelism, hospitality, and encouragement? Nice. What do you got, Audra? Helping, giving, and mercy. I would agree. I think you're a very kind and helpful person. Nice. Yeah. All right. Somebody else. What are some of the top ones on your list? Things you think you might be gifted at. Helping, encouraging, leading, and faith. Yeah, I would agree with those. That's cool. Nice job. All right. Let's make fun of ourselves a little bit. What are some of the ones you scored really badly in? Did anybody get a complete zero? Okay. All right. So All right, tell me some of the ones, hands up, some of the ones that you scored really badly in, all right, right there. Evangelism, faith, you're like, no, it's pretty low for me, okay? Thomas, what did you score low in? Mercy. No mercy from Thomas. Audra, what do you got? Evangelism is low. Okay. Madeline? Teaching and faith are low. What about you, Ava? Giving is low. You're like, I got no money. You can't have it. Even if I did, I wouldn't give it to you. That's all right. Pastoring and what? And teaching are low. Okay. What are your low ones, Dylan? Hospitality's low? Really? Is that inviting people in? Is that the one? Oh, okay, yeah. But that's different than encouraging. So what do you got, Madeline? You're low in helping. You just don't want to help people. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, can I get your guys' attention just for 2 minutes? We'll wrap it up, and you guys can go to Life Group. You guys, I hope today helped you a little bit and that you could learn a little bit about yourself. And you know what? Your gifts and talents may shift and change. And who you are is still being shaped and you're still trying to figure out that. Here's what's cool. Check this out. You guys, listen. You are at a great time in life to experiment with serving. Okay? Not with drugs or alcohol. Okay? Experiment with ways to serve. Like, hey, just try a bunch of stuff and see if you're any good at it, you know? Try teaching, try singing, try helping, try working with the kids, try doing tech stuff, try figure out ways you think, you know what, I might like that, or hey, I'm not sure, I want to give it a shot. Give it a try, because the more you try it, the more you're going to find out, you know what? I hated doing that because the kid barfed all over me and his diaper stunk and I don't want to help kids anymore. All right. So, but maybe it's infants you can't stand. Maybe you're really good with like fourth and fifth graders, right? Or you're like, you know what? I was trying to do slides and I was trying to push those buttons for the lighting cues and I was trying to do the tech stuff and I was distracted. Like, if you can't focus, then you probably shouldn't be the guy to switch to the slides for the songs. Because if you can't follow the song, then, and you're chasing squirrels in your brain or whatever, like, then maybe attention isn't your thing, but maybe you're a really good encourager, all right? Here's my advice to you. Try some stuff. Experiment with different ways to serve. And I'm not just going to say that as a thing. I'm actually going to show you how you could experiment with it, all right? On our website, okay, we've got 6 different categories of ways that you could serve, okay? The first one, service projects, are stuff we do here at Youth Group on a Tuesday night, okay? Maybe we clean the church. Maybe we help landscape outside. Maybe we mow or weed or clean or whatever. Those types of projects, right? The Mix is our student leadership team helping plan the events that we do, okay? Helping lead some of that stuff. The Morph 180 Band, if you maybe you're good at music, maybe singing or playing an instrument is your thing. Okay? That's just youth group. That's the top. The bottom is broader. So you want to serve at LCC? These are like flip. So if you get your finger, you could tap it on your phone, or if you've got a mouse on a computer, hover over it, it'll flip over. On the backside of that card is all the different ways at church that you can serve. You can click on the link, and it'll take you right to the place where you could apply. You want to help with Kids Life? Hover over that, click on it, and it'll go right to the application to help with Kids Life. Okay? Maybe you're good with tech stuff. Maybe you want to help on the welcome team. We need friendly teenagers to greet people on Sunday morning. Maybe you want to help out with the coffee bar. Okay? Or maybe you want to help out doing the AV and the sound and lights. All right? Or maybe there's something else that you want to do. Click on that. Look at that. There's ways to serve here at church. You're like, you know what? I'm sick of church stuff. I want to do other stuff. How could you serve the community? All right? Hover over that. Tap it. Click on it. Flip it over. And you'll find 5 or 6 different ways in Hilliard that you could serve. One's called Sun Ministries. Okay? They do like a free lunch program in the summer over at the Hilliard United Methodist Church. You could help them. They also are looking for other projects. I know this past summer, Jeff's wife Hillary had a bunch of stuff going on at their school. They needed babysitters so that you could watch the kids so that the parents could come and get some training, right? Helping with meals and stuff too. You can find some places in the community. Faith Mission, downtown Columbus. You liked what you did in Kalamazoo at the mission? Go to the mission in Columbus. To go downtown and figure out ways that you could help in our city, okay? Community is not for you. You want to go to the world? Click on the one to go to the world, all right? You flip that over. The first one on there is going to be Crew. How many of you guys are familiar with Crew? It is a Campus Crusade for Christ, used to be called. We have students serving right now all over the world from Frog who are currently serving on Crew's staff, okay? You guys know Jake Mosier is currently serving in Brazil on college campuses in Brazil doing ministry with college students in South America, Pretty cool. He's there for a year. Okay. Hallie Miller is traveling, doing a thing called Story Runners. She's all over the place. Africa, Russia, India. She's traveling and sharing through crew. All right. They also do high school trips. You don't like the trip we're going to do? You don't like the stuff we've got going on? Go find your own. And I'm not saying that in a rude way. I'm saying it, you can find a country, you can find a place or a city or a state or a project. You don't need me, you don't need Frog. You can click on one, it'll say group missions. And they have got probably 100 United States projects that you could do in different states. You could go to one's called Teen Missions. They do international stuff. You could spend your entire summer in Iceland, Finland, Scandinavia somewhere, okay? Those are harder trips. 3 months away from home is a long time with people you may or may not know well, you know? So, and here's my point. Find how you're gifted. Find how you want to serve and plug in. Fair enough? Cool. All right, pray with me. God, the world is a big place, and you made it, but you also made us for greatness, that we might find a way that we could serve and help in the world. God, I pray you help these teenagers find their way. Help them experiment with different ways to serve, whether it's at home or in their neighborhood or at their school, whether it's at our church, whether it's in the community, or maybe it's around the United States or somewhere across the world. God, would you help them learn about their gifting, about how you've built them and wired them for greatness? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.